News Talk WSB's Money Matters is on the air on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB, brought to you by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, and Sandy Springs. Money Matters is a live call-in talk show about money, investing, and how to grow and keep what you have. Your host is certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta Capital Investment Advisors, Wes Moss.
This is the American way.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters here on News Talk WSB, where we are a live call-in financial talk, investments, personal finance, navigating you or helping you navigate what has been an absolute record high stock market, up 200 plus points just this week, 236 points on the Dow. That's 1.6%, while the S&P 500 was up 34 points. That was 2% just on the week. So for the year, we're up 17% on both the Dow and the S&P 500. Bonds are yielding not even 2% on the 10-year Treasury. So you're saying, what do I do? Where do I go? I didn't win the Powerball lottery. I'm not from Zephyr Hills, Florida. I didn't win $590 million. What do I do with my $590,000? How does that take me through? How does that generate income? Is that enough for the $1,000 a month rule? What's the $1,000 a month rule? Well, for every $240,000, that's $240,000 you have. The way I look at that in retirement, that's $1,000 a month. So every multiple of $240,000 is an extra $1,000 a month for the rest of your life on top of Social Security. And if you're smart enough or lucky enough to have some sort of pension. So let's get back to the phone lines, 404-872-0750. I'm here Sunday mornings to take your calls, your questions, and walk you through, give you our second opinion, the Money Matters team, on where you're headed in retirement, what you should be doing with your money. How do you generate more income? How do you attain a better balance? How do you tackle some of the financial problems that you're faced with for retirement? Or maybe you just have some sort of product you're about ready to buy and you're worried about it, and you want our opinion on it, we're happy to help. So, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to go back to Gary. Gary joins us from Douglasville. Hey, Gary. So, just a quick recap here. You have some highly appreciated stock. Try to give us a quick context of how much the appreciation really is. So what's the basis? What did you pay for it? What's it worth today? And then how much is that amount of money, those stocks, in relation to everything else you have?
Well, I paid approximately 20 years ago about $40,000. It split, and we've gone to different other stocks. And in about 2003, it was just about $100,000. 2010, it was about $160,000, and now it's about $260,000-$270,000. I do have quite a bit of money with my financial advisor in American funds and all that. And I want to turn these stocks into the funds my financial advisor has. My stocks are just sitting there, really not being applicable to the funds that I can draw, apparently, in my retirement. I want to retire toward the end of the year.
So $40,000 is the basis. It's
right.
Worth about $260,000.
Right.
That means you've got a $220,000 gain.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the other question I have. When you say you don't, it doesn't fit into the rest of the plan, does that mean you're not getting any dividends? These are not dividend payers. What's the nature? What are the stocks, by the way? Or a couple of the examples of stocks?
They're food stocks. Hillshire Farms, Flowers Industries. I've got a Krispy Kreme as well.
You do? Good, good.
Yeah. The stocks themselves aren't contributing to the money I have invested in, like my American funds, group of funds, and they're not part of that investment that can be added to that lump sum. Now, if I take that the stocks and turn them into the dollar value, I can invest that into my other American funds and all the others to be able to I guess, enhance that portfolio. And that's kind of what I wanted to do. I just didn't want to have that much money tied up in stocks.
Gosh, these food stocks, really, of course, as you know and you've witnessed, have just been on a tremendous tear. If you go back to 2008 or 2009, let's say, flours, which is one that you have, is up 100%, well, 92%, and similar to the market, by the way.
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme donut, though, KKD, up 329% since that period of time. And a bunch of the, or a big part of the rise has been since last November. If you go back to last November, you get this, it looks like a straight line north on both of these stocks, and which have, they really have outpaced the market. So you're getting a, if you go back to October of 2012, the S&P 500 is up about 16% since last October. The flours and Krispy Kreme, they're up 64% and 67%. So you've had this tremendous outperformance on some of the stocks that you have inside of your portfolio. And that comes back to the food sector in general has done really well. We've seen a lot of investors flock towards staple-oriented type companies. And that's part of, we saw something like a stock like Heinz get bought out at about a 25% premium by Warren Buffett's company. And this may be the time for you to realize some of that. But the problem that you have, Gary, and the problem that some of our other listeners likely have, especially in a town where there's a lot of Home Depot stock, UPS stock, Genuine Parts stock, Coca-Cola stock that people have owned for a long time, you get to the point where you say, well, you know, I'd like to diversify this, but gosh, I really only paid $40,000, and now it's worth $260,000 if you're like Gary. So if you're to sell and you want to add that those funds, Gary, like you're talking about here, to your American funds,
right,
so that it is part of your overall financial plan and you understand where the money is, what are you going to have to pay? Well, pretty simple here. You've got a gain of $220,000. Are you under $450,000 in annual income? Or
yeah.
Okay. Are you married, by the way? Married, filed jointly, or are you single?
Married, filed jointly.
Okay, so you have this nice upper limit of, if as long as you're under $450,000 in adjusted gross income, your long-term capital gain tax, so the tax that you have to pay on the $220,000 in gains, if you sold everything all at once, would be in the 15% range. That's the tax on that. You'd owe $33,000. So that's the burden you have in trying to diversify this money. Now, there's a couple things that you can do. Number one, you've got to really make sure that I typically tell people to do a tax projection, because not only will you have to pay your capital gains tax on that if you were to sell it, Gary.
Yeah.
But it also is an addition to your overall income. So if you sell these stocks, you have $220,000 in gains, that pushes up your overall level of income as well. So it's added, so it also pushes up your other tax bracket. So that's a real that's another huge consideration here. So what you can do is you can do a tax projection with your accountant. You go to your CPA and you say, hey, let's say I sold $50,000. Let's say I sold $100,000. How is that going to affect my overall tax situation? So it's not just you that paying that 15%. It's the possibility of this taking you from maybe you're in a 15% tax bracket today, but it likely will take you into up to a 28% tax bracket for the year if you do a bunch of selling.
So I couldn't just take the money and just transfer it into the other funds and pay the taxes on that? It'd have to be like a boom to me and then boom to the tax fund?
Well, if you're going to take that money and put it in American funds, even
right,
though it stays technically, in your mind, it's staying invested,
right,
what you're really doing is you're selling those stocks and you're buying more American funds.
Uh-huh.
So it's really a transaction. If this money is outside of an IRA, which you've already told me it is, correct?
Right.
Then yeah, even though it stays invested, it's a full on transaction that the IRS is going to say, okay, Gary, pay me my capital gains tax on my the flour stock and the Krispy Kreme donut stock that you've made so much money on.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the strategy. One, sit down and do a tax projection and see. You likely don't want to do this all at once, Gary.
Okay.
The way to do this, I've seen this, I've done this for clients in the past. How do you diversify a large single position or two? Well, the answer is to do it slightly over time. So number one, you can do, let's say you did $50,000 this year. If you retire, when are you retiring, by the way? How many years until you?
I was hoping to retire at the end of the year.
Okay, well, even better. That means that next year, 2014, the income that you're receiving from work is going to go way down. So you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Well, guess what? Lower tax brackets mean lower long-term gain rates as well. In fact, if you're married filing jointly, if you're under $72,000 for the family, your long-term that keeps you in the 15% tax bracket. Well, guess what? Your long-term capital gain rate comes all the way down to zero. See, there's different capital gain taxes. There's 0%, there's 15%, and there's 20%. So you can manage this along with your CPA and say, well, maybe I sell a little bit this year, and then next year when I'm in a much lower tax bracket, some of this could potentially be a 0% tax to diversify. But remember, if you sell $50,000 next year in capital gains, that $50,000 gets you into a higher tax bracket. So you won't be in the $72,500 of adjusted gross income bracket for very long once you start doing some selling here, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly why you want to sit down and do, I can't stress enough for you here, the tax projection. You're going to do it and say, hey, what am I making this year in 2013? Well, let's fast forward to 2014 because it's going to be in a lower bracket. And so let's say I sell some next year. And that's the way you and anybody else listening that has a whole bunch of highly appreciated stock, that's how you want to manage the diversification process. The last thing you want to do, unless you really don't like the stocks that you have and you're worried about them just dropping by 15%, manage the sale of this over time, over the next year to 2.5 years. That way you can manage and pay a lower overall capital gain rate, and then you can get diversified. That's the key. 404-872-0750. If you'd like to find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week to help you out with a problem similar to this, or you want to just sit down and go over your overall situation, how do I generate more income? Find us online at yourwealth.com is our good old-fashioned website. That's yourwealth.com. Or you can just email me, radio@yourwealth.com. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, certified financial planner here on Newstalk WSB.
Investment planning to help you sleep well at night. This is Money Matters with certified financial planner Wes Moss on 95.5 FM and AM 750. Newstalk WSB.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Newstalk WSB. A little bit of a rainy Sunday morning, so welcome. Thanks for being with us. Time for Take a Look Around. This is the time of week when we talk about a company that you might already be spending money with or seeing people spending money with. And maybe it's time to take a look at the parent company that's doing so or making all that money. Well, Ryan was at a Gwinnett Braves game last night. There's a woman sitting in front of him with one of those e-cigarettes. And she was smoking the entire night, and it didn't bother anybody. Normally, it would have been one of those deals where everyone within 15 feet, they reeked of smoke, but there she was, puffing away and not bothering anybody. It seems like a pretty big revolution for smokers. So instead of smoke, what happens is that smokers get the nicotine and then blow out, instead of smoke, they blow out water vapor, and it doesn't smell. Seems like a pretty big revolution for smokers. So who's profiting from the innovation? Well, there are a few companies, but Lorillard has about 30% of that market cornered. So if you look, their symbol is LO, traded on the New York Stock Exchange. That was spun out of the Lowe's Corporation back in 08. That Lowe's still owns the Lowe's Hotel, Regency, the New York Giants, and they got rid of the tobacco business. They're headquartered, Lorillard, in Greensboro, South Carolina, yields 5.25%. Market cap, $15 billion stock. So it's Newport, Kent, True, Maverick, Old Gold, and now Blue E-Cigs. So worth taking a look at, but remember, this is FYI only. For your information only, take a look at this. Understand if it might work for you. Ask your advisor about it. but just don't go rush out just because you hear about a big yield. Take a look at the company's fundamentals. There's plenty of risk. So stick with me. More on Money Matters, more from Money Matters, as soon as we get back from a break. News, weather, traffic here on News Talk WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I know why you're tuning in, because you probably are the holder of that ticket from Zephyr Hills, Florida. That's the $590 million Powerball. What happens if you were the person that won the Powerball? Number one, don't buy a restaurant. 60% of restaurants fail within the first 3 years. For some reason, everybody wants to buy a restaurant. I think it's because when we're eating, we're having fun, we think, oh, it'd be so great to own a restaurant. One of the very worst things you could possibly do. Don't buy more than one of anything. So don't buy more than one car or one house, for that matter, or one boat. If you're going to win millions of dollars in the lottery, it's not that you can't buy a boat, a new car or a new boat or a new house or a new big house. It's just that you really can't buy five new houses or five new cars or five new boats. Don't ask random coworkers or your neighbor or your mailman who you should get advice from or what you should do with the money, because you're going to be led astray. And that's part of one of the problems I see with lottery winners or anybody that comes into a big amount of money, that they get picked on from lots and lots and lots of different angles. It's not necessarily one investment that blows them up. It's the accumulation of 10 or 20 or 30 different investments that really hurts these people. Until you find someone who you truly can confide in and you truly trust, and this is something you can easily do, you should not even go down to the lottery office and claim. The other thing that you don't want to do is be in the newspaper. Everyone's already going to love you because now you're rich. There's no reason to also put it in the paper so that random people who don't even know you now know that you're rich. Then all of a sudden people come out of the woodwork, your long-lost best friend, who you might have never liked to begin with, starts asking you for a loan to open up a restaurant. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. So that's a video I did on Friday because we were, of course, anticipating that we'd get a lotto winner. And that video now has gone viral. I have no idea where it is, all over the place. And I figured I might as well play it appropriate because, yes, of course, Sunday morning, $590 million from Zephyr Hills, Florida. Congratulations on whoever that winner is. And I'm sure they're tuned in to Money Matters here on News Talk WSB. So congratulations. I bet you, even though 90% of lottery winners are broke within 5 years, I bet you the $590 million winner, I don't even think they could spend it. There's no way that person can go broke. 404-872-0750. I'm going to go to the phones here as we're having a fun, wet, rainy morning, but you're tuned into Money Matters, so we might as well learn something. Hank joins us. Hank from Smyrna. How can I help, my friend?
Yes, good morning, Wes. I have a second home that I'm interested in paying off, but wanted hearing you about the $240,000 generating $1,000 a month. I was wondering whether it's better to invest to generate that money or go ahead and pay off a second home at a rate of 4 5/8.
Hank, number one, I'm interested for you to pay off that house, too, because I can tell you in my research in writing Happiest Retiree on the Block, which I'm squarely in the middle of, the higher the percentage you have of people paid off mortgage. Well, let me back up for a second. The more likely you've paid off your mortgage or you're about to pay off your mortgage in the next 3 years, the more likely you are to be happy in retirement. So there's a real element that's not just financial here. There's a peace of mind comfort factor that goes with paying off the mortgage. Here's my rule of thumb. Well, let me ask you a question. How much money do you have? How much money left to pay off the mortgage?
Well, just out of this one account, about $50,000 after paying it off.
No. I mean, how much? What's the debt amount left? How much do you still owe?
$200,000.
Okay, and then how much money do you have outside of IRAs, non-IRA, non-401k money that you could potentially use to pay that off?
About $300,000 or so.
So $300,000 you have in non-IRA money, and the mortgage is about $200,000. So if you paid it off, you'd have about $100,000 left over?
Correct.
So here's my rule of thumb. It's I call this the one-third mortgage rule, where if you can pay off the mortgage and use a third, one-third or less of the after-tax money you have, then I say stroke a check tomorrow, get it done. But in your case here, you've got about $300,000, $200,000 to pay off the mortgage. I would maybe go ahead and do $100,000 now and get rid of a big chunk of the mortgage. And that way that your payoff will come much sooner over time. But I think that's too much money to just completely use to assault the mortgage. Now, let me caveat that with when are you going to retire? And do you have a pension or plenty of IRA money when you get to retirement age?
Well, I'm kind of at retirement age, probably work another 3 or 4 years. I'm 66 now and do have some annuities that would generate probably about $20,000 a year plus the Social Security. And then first home is paid off, primary is paid off, and then would want to pay off the second home.
And what kind of rate is on the mortgage that you have right now? What kind of interest rate do you have?
4.625%.
So it's a good rate, not an amazing rate relative to where other interest rates are. It might not be worth refinancing. You're not going to get you could probably refinance this rate down to 3% or even under 3% if you do a 15-year mortgage. How many years left on the mortgage if you just finish out the term?
Probably about 25.
You know, here's what I would do, Hank. This may be a thought for you. If you're at 4.625%, even though that historically is a really low mortgage, and this is a home you think you're going to stay in for a long, you think you'll be there for a long time, you like the home?
Yes.
Then I think you're a candidate to refinance, but refinance to a 15-year mortgage, and refinance to, so you're going to get a rate that's now under 3%. That's a significant savings from where you are right now. You're going to take 10 years off the term, so you'll pay it off 10 years quicker. And likely, because the rate's lower, your payment's not going to go up a whole lot, even though you're going to pay it off 10 years earlier. And use part of that $300,000, up to 100 of the 300, Hank, to buy the percent of the overall mortgage balance down so that you have a nice, comfortable, much lower payment in retirement. So that's how I'm thinking about this for you, Hank, is that I think just to pay the whole thing off is too much of your after-tax money. And the reason it's too much of your after-tax money, Hank, is because you don't want to be left in retirement with just IRA money. Because if you're left with just IRA money, that means that every time you need a nickel out of your IRA, you have to pay taxes on it. You want a lump sum. You want a portion of your savings to be non-IRA money. That way you can kind of control what your overall tax situation is. Remember, if you pull $5,000 out of your savings account, that most of that can be return of principal for you. So it doesn't push you up in tax brackets. So the reason the perfect retirement is a balance of some IRA money, some after-tax money, is that you can now control your tax situation. And that's that's one of the other primary reasons I wouldn't just pay off the mortgage completely. I, more than anybody, will advocate getting rid of your mortgage. But I don't want you to do it if it's going to leave you after-tax poor and house rich, because the last time I checked, you can't pay for groceries at Kroger with shingles. 404-872-0750 is the call in line here in the studio. Betty joins us from Atlanta. Hi, Betty. How can we help?
Hi. I have some double E bonds and I have some I bonds. And, of course, one of them's not due until 2022 and that other one's not due until 2033. And I'm retired and I don't really need that income. And I was trying to decide whether to leave it in for another 5 years to see if CD interest rates go up, and then maybe I can switch it over to a CD, or just go ahead and put it into an ETF, or because I have mutual funds already.
Well, E and I bonds right now, Betty, if you were to buy them new, well, I bonds right now still have a zero interest rate. Now CPI might go up by 2% or 2.5%, and you're going to get CPI, so they don't necessarily pay zero. But yeah, the old I bonds that you probably have, they probably have a little bit of an interest rate to them, right?
Yes, the E bonds have a 4%, and the I bonds have a 2.87.
So those are golden, Betty. You do not want to sell those at all.
That's what I thought.
You're absolutely right on the money just to hold those, because the interest rates are so low. You're getting a guaranteed 4%+ on the E. You're getting 2%+ on the I bonds plus inflation. I'd love to have those bonds right now, Betty. So you do not want to cash those in. Hold. Hold those.
Hold them and see what happens to interest rates in 5 years from now.
Absolutely. If interest rates are a heck of a lot better, then not only have these bonds held their value, whereas other bonds might not hold their value compared to these, because these are accrual bonds and you don't have to worry about the principal going down, then if rates are a lot better, then cash them in. Then cash them in, pay the taxes. But not now, with rates at historic lows, where you've locked in bonds that have nicer rates and that you don't have to worry about the principal going down. So those are wonderful bonds that you have. I would absolutely be holding on to those, Betty. Absolutely. Wait another 5 years and then take a look around and see what interest rates look like.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought I'd do.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Betty. Have a great Sunday.
You too.
404-872-0750, the call-in line here in the studio. Paul joins us from Roswell. Hey, Paul, good morning. How can we help, my friend?
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Well, thank you for your program. I have a question about Sprint. I purchased it about a year or so ago, and I have a cost of about $5.40. And about 6 months later, I think it was last October, November, SoftBank announced that they want to acquire 70% of it. And then I guess recently Dish got involved in it too. And they called me the other day wanting me to vote via phone without knowing any of the details, and they finally did send me the details. But my question is this. I just really would like to keep all that I have. I'm not interested in 70% cash out, because I believe that once if the merger does go through, that they will issue Sprint stock. I guess it's going to be called Sprint Corporate. And I'm kind of perplexed because I don't really understand the options, and I'm not so sure what the best direction is to go in.
Here's my thought, Paul, is that you're in the middle of a good old-fashioned bidding war, and this is a wonderful position to be in as an investor if you're the one that holds the stock that's getting bid for. So what's going to happen, what you've seen here is an offer from Dish that pushes up the price of Sprint. Then you see an offer from SoftBank, which is, by the way, a Japanese technology or telecom type company, and now they want to buy Dish, or they want to buy Sprint Nextel. So what's happened is that you've had this nice bidding war, and it's pushed up the value of Sprint. What you typically will see here, and this is not a stock that I cover in our investment committee, let's say. This is not a stock we necessarily follow. But in general, when you see these bidding wars, my take on this is that once you get one or two step-ups, and we're at the second step-up price here, it usually doesn't get a whole lot better. And my thought here is to typically take your money and run. I usually like to ring the register if I'm in the middle of the bidding war and the bidding war's worked out to my favor. We get to the point where everybody knows about the value of the company, and now we have a whole lot less upside. Again, that's just my opinion on other past bidding wars. I would probably take my money and run. You're listening to Money Matters. Find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week at yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com, or radio@yourwealth.com. Stay tuned for more Money Matters as soon as we get back from break. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Newstalk WSB. Thanks for being with us on your way to church, to brunch, to maybe a rainy round of golf here in the Atlanta area. And yes, I wish you won that lottery, that $590 million and a half. I wish you did, but likely you were not the person in Zephyr Hills, Florida. But that's okay, because there's plenty of other ways to have a happy retirement, and there's lots of other avenues to get to the point where you can be a successful income investor and do all the things you want to do for the rest of your life, provided you are prudent and you follow the fundamentals that we talk about here on Money Matters. How do you be a fundamental income investor? Well, that's through dividends and interest and distributions from what you're investing in inside of your 401k. It's not as hard as it sounds like to do. So if you'd like to get more info on that or just sit down and talk, I'm happy to do so. I'm actually here in Atlanta. We're right up in Sandy Springs, me and the Money Matters team. If you'd like to find us, a couple ways to do so. First, our good old-fashioned website, yourwealth.com, yourwealth.com. There's also a Facebook page that we are pretty active on, and that's just Wes Moss Money Matters, if you're one of the billion people on Facebook. There's also LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn, Wes Moss on LinkedIn. And I'm going to do some posting. That lotto video I did, I'll post up there that we talked about today. And lots of other thoughts about the show on the Facebook page. So thanks for being with us here on this Sunday morning. We'd love that you tune in, and it's, you're a huge, huge part of this show. So thank you for doing that, and I hope that you'll be with us next Sunday from 9 to 11 live. For more Money Matters, here on News Talk WSB.